Is there a modern-day equivalent to Duke Ellington or Ornette Coleman, to the people who thought differently about jazz, created new forms, expanded the musical vocabulary? I would nominate Steve Coleman. For 30 years now, he's been pushing the music forward, traveling the world to collect new sounds, rhythms, and ideas. And along the way, he's mentored some of the most exciting young artists in jazz. Coleman practices something he calls spontaneous composition. That means he envisions a concept he wants to write about, puts himself into a kind of trance state, and just starts playing. From that improvisation emerge the elements of a formal composition. Steve Coleman's new album features a compelling four-part suite, each named after parts of the body. The suite and the album are called Synovial Joints. Could you explain for non-biology majors what a synovial joint is?
I don't know if I can. Most of the joints in our body, you know, elbow, wrist, ankle, all these different joints, are what are called synovial joints. You have pivot joints and ball and socket joints and swivel joints and different kinds of things. I've found the most inspiration over my life in nature. And it just sort of hit me in a kind of inspirational way because I saw a lot of musical motion and the way melodies connect and the way rhythms connect. What I was imagining when I was doing improvisation was what kind of motion did different joints allow in terms of how they connect the head and neck, which is all one thing. Mm-hmm. It's a combination of different types of motion. The torso, if you twist and, you know, swivel and then bend back and forth and everything, that's another kind of motion. The hip and shoulders, those are ball and socket joints, and they have a different kind of range of motion. And then the hands and the wrists, you know, I was thinking more about the fingers, actually, and the wrists, you know, that's another kind of motion, more of a back and forth kind of thing. So all you really have to do is focus on these things, because we don't focus on them every day. They're just things that we don't think about them. But once you think about them and you meditate on it, then you start to envision all kinds of things. And because I'm dealing with a moving art, I mean, these things are moving and music is moving. So I start to see connections.
One of the things that's kind of fascinating about you, though, is that, I mean, it does sound kind of mystical, the state that you talk about being in. And at the same time, you're also very analytical. I mean, I know you've traveled all over the world collecting scholarship on different musical cultures. It seems like you're very self-conscious and unself-conscious at the same time to do that.
Well, I recently had a long conversation with Sonny Rollins about this.
Great saxophonist.
Of course. And so we were talking about being in this kind of meditative state, almost like yoga or something like this, you know, where we play from. Mm-hmm. And you want to get to the point where you actually don't feel like you're thinking or doing anything, that somehow energy is just working through you. That's the ideal point you want to get to. We don't always get there. And what I did with this record is that I played, you know, 20, 25 improvisations, and I picked the ones that I thought did the best job of getting to that place. And then and you can hear it afterwards. You know when you've hit it, you know. And the state that you're at when you're listening back to it, though, is a very different state than you're in when you're doing it.
You talked about taking inspiration from nature, and I wonder if you could talk about that in the context of something you call camouflage orchestration, which is a technique you employ on this album.
You must have read the liner notes.
I did read the liner notes, yeah.
Okay. Because you didn't just guess up on that one. Well, I do a lot of sabbaticals every year, and recently I've been going to Brazil a lot. And while down there, you know, there's a lot of nature. You know, there's the Amazon rainforest, and there's a lot of different types of bird and fauna and all kinds of stuff. And this was something that came to me maybe 2 years ago while I was down there. I practice outside a lot because it's very tropical. It's in Bahia, so it's very close to the equator. And they have the most amazing animal sounds and different things. And this was something, just listening to the animals and the way they were overlapping in the forest and the kind of dimensioning. And it just hit me, just listening to that, sort of like surround sound. I thought, wow, it would be great if you could orchestrate instruments in that same way as this environment.
I'm curious about the process, how this works with your musicians, because when you start out with a spontaneous composition, you're in this kind of very solitary state, right? And then
exactly.
You transcribe and then bring this to people that you work with. How does it work at that point?
Well, the key to that is picking the right musicians and how long you've been working with them. Mm-hmm. And then there's a big group of musicians I worked with that most of them come from a new music ensemble called the Talia Ensemble. The violin, the viola, trumpet, trombone, instruments most commonly associated with orchestra. Mm-hmm. And they're top-notch readers in their case. So everything has to be written and has to be very, very precise. So there's like two groups of musicians who are meeting on that level. And then in addition to that, I had hand drummers from Cuba and from Brazil playing cungas, bongos, berimbau, talking drum. So I thought of this as three different groups of musicians coming from three different traditions. One was more of a African diaspora tradition. Our tradition, the one I'm from, is also an African diaspora tradition, but in a different way, where you use European instruments, for example. And then there's the European tradition. And it was a challenge for me because how do you keep all these people synchronized? How do they communicate when they're used to doing things very differently? Some of the musicians, the classical musicians, are used to a conductor, and we didn't use a conductor. There were a lot of different problems. Tempest is a good example of a solution to one of those problems because it has a lot of tempo changes and a lot of kind of rubato sections. So those were cued from the drums. But I got that idea from bata players in Cuba of doing these like calls and people responding to the calls. You know, so there's different solutions on different compositions. It's a lot of detail.
And what we're talking about musicians, you know, you are somebody that's had a huge influence on a lot of great musicians. I think about your contemporaries, but also, you know, some of the great young jazz musicians like Vijay Iyer, Rudresh Mahanthapa. I could put together a long list. Is there, and all these workshops and all the people that you've helped out, is there like one message that you try to drive home when it comes to spontaneous composition, to improvising, or?
Yes. Yeah. Yes. Very much so. The main message is listen to the voice inside of you, to know yourself as best as you can and follow that. That may not be a good message for people who want you to go in a certain direction, you know, for the what I call the red tape crowd, the club owners, managers, promoters, people like that, record company executives. But for creativity, that's my main message. It's not to follow me. That's definitely not my message, to do what I do. But to do what it is you want to do and what you feel great about. That's the main message.
That's composer, bandleader, and saxophonist Steve Coleman. His new album with a Council of Balance is called Synovial Joints. Steve, thank you very much.
Oh, no problem.